Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18
plus. Good morning, USA.
Yo. I'm DJ Envy.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God with the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
And currently we are on vacation.
Man, totally disconnected.
Yes.
We're not even really here. You think you're listening to us, but we're not.
Well, we are not. We're here in spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're gonna be playing some of our top interviews and some throwbacks. So keep it locked. Red is going to be running the boards, and we'll see y'all in the new year. Happy holidays. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Craig with a K, man. I got two things. Don't hang up on me.
Why you got two things? I only got one.
No,
hold on. I got two. That was good. But listen. Elon Musk, I'm going to be honest with you. Elon Musk reminds me a lot of President Snow from The Hunger Games. Elon Musk is rich and he's bored. And I think what he's doing with Twitter, giving people this platform to do and say whatever they want, I think what he's doing is sitting back and allowing and watching and being entertained by letting people hang themselves.
Well, I don't know if he's letting people hang themselves, but I think, like I said earlier, he's showing us how much people like mess. Like, we love watching traffic accidents. The messier, the better. Like, people love running towards the fight, you know, so they can see it. People love consuming BS, and I think he's proving that right now by letting Twitter be the Wild Wild West.
Right. Second thing, Envy, I got a bone to pick with you, man.
I'm married, sir, but go ahead.
Now, listen, I don't need to talk about that because you be turning up on your light skin and keep the stuff. I'm talking about 2 weeks ago or a couple weeks ago when Designer was trying to call out 21 Savage in that versus battle. You was hella petty, bro. You was hella petty. You know that man ain't got no hit. And Charlamagne was trying to just bypass you with the Kodak stuff. But you was being petty. And you supposed to be from New York, bro. And you just embarrassing. You like helping Designer embarrass himself. And I feel like with Angela Yee gone, bro, you really going to turn up on your light-skinned Keisha stuff, man.
Light-skinned Keisha.
Real light-skinned.
Light-skinned Rashawn.
You be reminding me of them light skinned chicks back in high school, bro. You got to slow down, bro.
You like me?
Would you hit? Yo.
Yo.
He hung up. Why he hung up? It was just getting good, man.
Made it awkward and uncomfortable. Now, shout out to Design. You know what he was talking about when 21 Savage said he'll kill everybody on the cover. And I was asking all the artists that was on the cover. Designer was one of them. Kodak was another one. Who else was on that cover?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. But shout out to Designer. Hello, who's this?
Yo, B-Mom from the Metro. How y'all doing, man?
What up, bro?
803, what's happening?
Get it off your chest.
You already know. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, talk to Angela, you know, sync off in the right way. It's been a long time. I've been listening to The Breakfast Club since, like, I was in high school. I'm about to be 28 tomorrow. So I just want to let you know everything you're doing, you know, stepping into this new light. I really love it, and I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening to us since high school.
And happy birthday,
girl. We've been on for quite some time.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. Happy. Now, I want to also let you know, too, Charlamagne and DJ Envy, y'all be easy on her now, okay? All the brother stuff on Hump Day. I want to do all that. Y'all can go to the Munchmobile.
What is you talking about?
What's the Munchmobile?
To the Munchmobile. Meet me.
Yo, goodbye, man.
What the hell did he just say?
He said, to the Munchmobile. Baby.
All right. Well, he's clearly going to beat us there. Save some for us, bro.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Tasha. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, Tasha. Indeed. How you doing, Queen?
First of all, pedestrians got the right of way. They do not have the right to be jerks or disrespectful in the street. I have a car, this $4,000 pound car. It can hurt you, ton, whatever the weight is. Y'all don't have the right to be jerks in the street. That's
okay.
One. Two, the people that are not from Brooklyn, in Brooklyn, being disrespectful to people in Brooklyn. I'm talking about the people in 7-Eleven. I'm talking about the people that work at Checkers. I'm talking about people that are not Black Americans or any Americans. They are not from America, and they over here being disrespectful and racist in Brooklyn. I am tired.
What happened?
So I went to Checkers. I work for these delivery apps, and I have insomnia, so I'm up 4 o'clock in the morning going to these stores and picking up orders and picking them to people because they hungry. And I'm doing this with a smile, and I'm happy about it because I'm making a dollar. However, when I get there and people close and they act like they don't want to come to the door and tell me something because I'm asking a question, they looking at me like I'm dirty. I'm from Brooklyn. You not from Brooklyn. You dirty. I'm a thoroughbred. Come to this door. I'll be here when the damn store open. I want to talk to a manager. I want to call a franchise owner. I want to talk to somebody that's not working in this store.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Well, she definitely got it off her chest today.
All right.
Yes. And so what, you do delivery, food deliveries from the apps?
Yes, okay. I Grubhub, I Uber, I DoorDash, I Roadie, I Instacart. I do it all because I don't like to be doing nothing.
And you from Brooklyn, and we hustle. Let them know.
All right, thank you, mama.
Right. We hustle. I'm a thoroughbred, and we hustle all day, every day. Do or die.
Okay. All right. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? Yo, this is Jay, man.
Is what? Man.
Yo, yeah. Yo, Charlamagne, when you were talking about the PPP loan, I tried to get through. I did a little 16 bars going through the hair.
Okay.
Go.
Alright, it's crazy. I got to outdoor me pushing S5 and Bentley trucks. Of some PP loans. I was pushing some regular joint. I got a loan from the bank. I started to get a PP loan. Something made me think. I'm already in debt. Imagine receiving a letter from the federal government telling you you owe 50 stacks. I probably would have jumped over a roof. But the money's stealing. Y'all want to see the egos. Walk outside. I never saw so many fences, BMWs and lanes and monster trucks parked on my block. I put the beach on roll. There's that nigga living it up. I'm sitting on some rack shit. I can't compete. Some girl teasing me about the car she bought for PPP.
Okay, I think you need to get a job. Listen, I think you need to get a job. There's a lot of temp jobs available because it's the holiday season. You know what I mean? And
I'm glad you didn't go.
You said, Envy, you ain't like that, Envy?
Nah, it was trash. Like, your flow was just garbage. But I like the content that you're saying. You're saying you got a Nissan Rogue and you work for your Nissan Rogue. And them brothers on the block with the Bentleys and Roses, they're going to jail.
That's right. I think that's what you were saying. You wasn't co-signing stealing, right?
No, he wasn't.
You against PPP.
Yeah, I'm saying I can't compete. This girl teasing me about the car support for PPP. I'm putting the links on road. They got Benzes, Ranges, and out there and all that stuff for my block. I never seen no cars in my life.
That's what, and that's why we gotta you gotta contact the proper authorities when you see people that have participated in these PPP scams. No, you should. You should contact the proper authorities, man. You see something, say something.
No, don't do that. Hello, who's this?
Double toasted. Good morning. It's Kaya. I want to get it off my chest.
Kaya, you ordering me some breakfast too?
Yeah, I'm at Starbucks, and so y'all can't make me late for work. We gotta do this quick.
I know what I want.
We gotta do it quick. Well, go then. Go.
Can we get like a Beyond Meat sandwich with the egg and on a English muffin?
No, Angelique, this is not your coffee shop. I'm at Starbucks. You know,
hilarious.
It's a chain. This is a chain. What y'all want from Starbucks?
No, we good now.
Now we get Starbucks.
Now we get some.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, who's this?
This is Gerv Pond from Seattle.
Hey, Gerv, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Hey, I just want to get off my chest, man. You know, like, you know, sometimes, you know, this is for, you know, for whoever needs to hear this, but, you know, sometimes life can get tough, you know. We've got to continue to keep getting up and keep pushing and all that stuff, you know. And honestly, you know, just be blessed that God blessed us with the day.
That's
it. To live every day.
That's it, brother.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Oh, my God. Hey, I'm Bree. I'm from Central Florida.
Hey, Bree from Central Florida. Good morning. Get it off your chest.
Good morning, Bree.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sick of being a truck driver. Like,
I'm over it.
Like, over the road.
Mm-hmm.
Will people be cutting you off?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the pay.
Oh.
That'll do it.
Like, well, you know, people, they look at truck drivers and they think, oh, they're getting paid all this money. But it's not what they think.
Damn. It's
the companies, they try to undercut you. Mm-hmm. Zip code pay instead of mileage pay. It's frustrating, you know?
I'm sorry, are you in your truck now?
Don't you ask him to blow
that horn for me,
I knew it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I have on my headset, so.
She ignored
you.
So
blow it anyway. We'll hear it.
Go ahead, Envy.
Blow it.
He's married.
Okay.
Yay!
Envy, pull your shirt down. Why are you flashing everybody? This guy's crazy.
You have a good morning. Be safe out there on the road, all right?
All right. Thank you.
All righty now. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. You know him from Snowfall and a host of other things. His birthday is one day before mine. He's a fellow Virgo.
Oh, God.
Damson Idris. Welcome, son.
How you doing,
welcome, son. Welcome, sir.
He said son.
Damn, son.
Damn, son.
I didn't know your birthday was the 1st of September.
No, you a day before me. I'm September
3rd. Oh, 3rd. Okay. Yes, okay, yes. A buddy of mine is the 3rd, too. Actually, the showrunner of Snowfall, really? Dave Andron. Really? Same birthday, yeah. Virgo's the best, you know.
Absolutely.
They had us on New Year's.
There you go. Now, the first thing you said was, I love New York because I love Jamaican culture.
Yeah.
What do you love so much about Jamaican culture, and what do you love?
Obviously, the food.
Jerk chicken. Yeah. Oxtail.
Yeah. I'm an oxtail guy.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah, oxtail. Actually, I like to dabble in both. I like to steal food from whoever I'm eating with. Plantains. Do you guys say plantain or plantain?
I say plantain.
I say plantain.
I feel like that's the right way to say it. I feel like I was saying it wrong my whole life.
You had to switch through all different times of ways to say, different kinds of ways to say things. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a part of my life, impersonating people.
You don't have amazing Jamaican restaurants in London or in LA where you shoot? No.
Nah, there's none, man.
Not at all.
Out here, I like Miss Lily's.
Miss Lily's.
Okay. I actually wrote on a gram yesterday. I was like, oh, where could I go? People said, Footprints.
That's in Brooklyn.
Good. Yeah. Footprints is good.
Yes, look, first of all, the best Caribbean food is in Brooklyn. We got Footprints, we got Suede, we got Caribbean Social, we have...
This is New York. There's
we have Tilly, we have the grill.
One called the grill.
The grill, yes. So.
There's another one as well. I can't remember what the other one's called, but I'm going to try all of it today.
That's
can't
impossible.
Wait.
Oh. I saw you talking about how John Singleton told you to stay humble. Though amongst everything.
Yeah. Yeah, for people that don't know, the first time we actually met you, you were up here with John Singleton.
Yeah.
He don't remember you though, Envy.
Yeah, he definitely remembers. He's like, this is the first time I met you in the press. I met you when John Singleton was here.
You're a light-skinned.
It's all right.
Oh, man. No. There's a couple light-skinned guys in the DSS. Okay, you're in there.
But, yeah, so how has that been for you, though? Because, obviously, Snowfall is such a huge show. You guys are in the 5th season. We've watched Franklin grow up, and he has got a lot of big things happening. But in real life, you've grown up, too, and your star has grown up as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a testament to John Singleton. You know, he really believed in me. And although I fought for the role like crazy, I auditioned like 9 times. Mm-hmm. You know, he took me to South Central, opened up the car door and said, if you survive, you got the role. And I was like walking around, had to be in character.
So you walked around South Central.
Oh, yeah.
How was that? Break
in
down
character.
That experience.
Man, so I get to John Singleton's office and I think I'm going to read I'm going to audition, right? Mm-hmm. It's like audition number 8 or something like that. And then he's like, yeah, no, we're not going to read anything. We're just going to take a walk. So we're walking around, and he's like, don't break character. And he's introducing me to people. And, you know, Singleton was like God in his community. Like, people would be like, yo, John! Mm-hmm. You know, and then they'd come up to me, talking to me. They're like, yo, what's up, little homie? And I'm like, what's up? I'm just pretending like that I'm from there. And then his mom came. And, you know, I'm British, so I'm saying a bunch of British stuff in an American accent.
But he didn't know you were British, right?
Oh, no, he knew. Right. He knew. Oh, okay. Like, he
what
wanted
were you
me
saying?
To
what
stay.
Were you saying? What kind of British stuff were you saying?
You know, like, you guys say, like, elevate, I say lift, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys say Ben. You guys say trash, I say Ben.
Plantain. So,
exactly. Plantain. Exactly. So I'm talking in an American accent, and his mom comes like, oh, how lovely your hair looks today. I'm just going to go over there and throw something in the bin. And she looks over at John, and she's like, John, he ain't from here, huh? I was like, man, mom just took this role from me.
Were you scared walking around South Central?
I wasn't scared, man. I was with John, you know. Yeah, that was my big brother. Mm-hmm. You know? That was my big brother, man. I miss him greatly. But as far as I get in this industry and on this journey, I'm always going to honor Singleton for being my foundation.
Well, let's talk about the new season.
Yeah.
So you're also producing.
Oh, yeah.
On the new season. How did that come about?
I forced them to give me a producer credit. No, you know, when you've been doing this show for so long, you pick up different traits, but at the same time, you want to be challenged. And my circles are so bossy today that they inspire me to want to be more of a leader. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. It's like, if you hang around with certain types of people having certain types of conversations, and they're like, yo, bro, you should go in. And then you ask, and they're like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been watching the Ye Doc, you know, and mm-hmm. Hov was like, you know, close mouths, don't get fed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Like, it's true. You know, ask and you shall receive. And I asked, and they gave it to me. And, you know, above all things, I'm not saying my level of producing is at the level of my acting ability. My acting ability is quite horrible. I'm just saying, I'm saying I'm being a sponge, and I'm being given an opportunity to learn so that I can use my platform and my brand to create more opportunities.
All right, we got more with Damson Idris from Snowfall. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Damson Idris. You know him from Snowfall. Yee?
Are you still taking piano lessons, or how is
Whoa. That?
Whoa.
Damn.
So let's break this down. Where were you taking piano lessons? Where did we see him playing piano? I don't know.
Juilliard. No, no.
Where did we see him playing piano, Yee?
I'm just asking. I saw you were taking piano lessons or something like that.
Oh, damn.
I did see a video of...
It looked like you were good with your hands.
Oh, my Lord.
Was that Sweetie's piano?
Wow.
Who's Sweetie? I don't know.
No. Me and
you're
that woman.
You're blushing.
I'm not blushing. I'm not blushing.
I don't know dogs can people blush.
I'm nervous. I'm not blushing. No. Me and that queen are just friends. She's a great piano.
I didn't say you guys weren't. I was just asking about the piano lessons.
Yeah. She's a great piano player. And... And I didn't know she could play piano. I didn't even think the world knew. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is a cool moment. I just posted, but like, people thought it was.
Let me ask you a question. Like, you know, I don't know if Angela Yee can play the piano because I'm not at her house to learn. I don't know if Taylor, who's over here, our producer, knows. You know, I don't know if she can play the piano. So how did you get to Sweetie's house to see that she could actually play the piano?
So she's a huge Snowfall fan, mm-hmm. right? And that day we were at lunch, I think, talking about how we could collaborate because we actually wanted to get her.
Before.
No, it wasn't a date. No,
work,
no.
He said.
Guys and
talking about collaborating.
You know, guys and girls could be friends.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
That's exactly what me and DR, we were friends.
Okay. All right. So go ahead. So y'all on a date eating? I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Eating lunch.
Yeah, but
my dinner.
So we're having lunch, and then. She wanted to show me her new place because I love CB2 and I was going to give her some ideas about furniture mm-hmm. and art. And then, boom, we went and then she was playing the piano. That's it. I was in there for like 5 minutes and I dipped out. Like,
you also talk about that Denzel is your idol as far as acting.
Oh, yeah.
So when you see, I don't mess up the young lady's name. When you see the young lady interviewing Denzel and she mentions your name mm-hmm. and he didn't know who you were. Break that down when you seen it and how you felt. Like, you watch the TV, be like, oh, Denzel. And he was like, who that is? And then he asked the white guy. The white guy's like, I don't know
who that is. No, it was insane. So I was at home, and my phone's
blowing. Is that your house or Sweetie's house?
Wow.
People like to start rumors.
It's messy.
Like, up.
I'm at my house.
Okay, your house.
So I'm at my house.
By yourself?
By myself.
All right, just asking.
Yeah, I was by myself. And my phone's like blowing up. And it's like a bunch of articles and stuff like that. And people are calling me. And it was like, yo, Denzel's like talking about you. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, so then, yeah, he didn't know who I was. And he called me Babson address. But that was funny, though.
Yeah, it's an address. Mm-hmm.
That was funny. But hey, man, like, it's a new day, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah. It's a new day. And, you know, you could bash, you know, getting notoriety through social media. I'm not going to lie. Like, there's a lot of my kind of existence has been on that through my work and just through just being mm-hmm. me. And some people from the past still don't respect that. Mm-hmm. But look what social media has done for so many people today.
Absolutely.
We have to start moving in the direction of the future. But above all things and all of that noise, Denzel Washington is my idol. He's like a god to me. And I'll never have anything bad to ever say about him.
What's next for you? What is it? What is some roles that you want to do?
Wow.
Is there something that you like? I would love to do that role. Like, that's my dream role. Is it an action figure? Is
something
it
this, musical.
I love playing real people. So I'd love to play Eddie Murphy, Sidney Poitier, Fela Kuti. I'm actually, I don't know. Am I allowed to say it? Do you know who Rich Paul is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to play Rich Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Rich Paul, the agent?
Yeah.
He said, do I know who Rich Paul is?
Wait, he has a show, something about him coming out, or it's in something where Rich Paul is a character?
No. Does he?
No, I'm asking you. It's something where he's...
Does he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he has a show coming out, but he's a really good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and there's people behind this window like, why did you say that? But he called me, he was like, tell the world, and I think we should. It's time we start cherishing... black moguls, you know?
Agree.
And Rich is someone that people need to know.
I agree.
Guy has completely changed the game. I'm happy and fortunate to call him a big brother, and I can't wait to honor his story.
That's great. He actually, right, he approached LeBron in the airport selling jerseys.
Exactly.
I know his story.
That's crazy.
And that's how they met each other.
Yeah,
and
that's
now
insane.
He's like, and then he's, as a black sports agent, he gets looked at in a completely different way. The white sports agents were so angry that he was able to come in and get like the biggest NBA player.
Yeah,
that'd be a good story.
It's gonna be amazing, man. And, I'm really
agree.
Excited.
We should start telling the stories now while they're alive. Then, I just hate sometimes when we wait till somebody passes away to tell their story. But Damson has to leave now.
Oh man! Damson, all right, good. I would try to get a couple of spoilers out of you, but
I know you're really good though. But I think I did well.
But we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Bless
and
you.
No, we really do, yes.
Good luck with everything, man.
I love the fact that you're producing. I can't wait to see what else you have coming up. Just because we met you so like a few years ago. And I think it's just amazing to see where you are and where the show is now. And a large part of that is because of you. So.
Wow, man. That means so much, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's Damson Idris. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about receiving a fake gift. Now, French Montana speaks on Akon giving him a fake watch.
He had given me a Hublot, so it wasn't iced out. So I just took it to my jeweler. I was like, yo, can you switch this for me? Akon gave it to me for my birthday. He looked at me and was like, what you mean? Akon did not give you this, my guy. So I just called him. Shout out to Akon, by the way. This is my guy. I'm still waiting for that.
For the real
one? Yeah, for real one. So I'm at him. I was like, yo, Akon, my jeweler said it's fake. Say it ain't so. He was like, what? And he was like, let me call you right back, because he gave me a couple of them like that. Let me call him. I ain't hearing from him about that. Watch this that day.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name's Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany. Now, what did you give fake?
I gave a guy a fake chain before, a fake Cuban link.
Oh, my gosh.
You gave? Where are you from, New York?
That's hilarious.
I'm from Florida. I'm from South Florida.
Why did you do that?
Because that's what I could afford. I mean, I had to give him what I could afford. That's all I could give him.
And what did he say? Did he appreciate it?
Yeah, he seemed like he appreciated it. I'm sure he knew it was fake.
Damn, neck all green.
You know, one of the middle of the mall stores.
Okay, all right. Well, as long as he wore it and appreciated it. You can only wear that for like a month.
I still got the chain, though.
But thank you, Mama.
He didn't take it.
He didn't take it?
No, he didn't take it. Like, when the relationship was over, he didn't take it with him.
Why would he take that fake chain?
I want that fake chain.
Take your chain back. Take this fake chain you bought me. Chain
back. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Tamaranta.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning. How are you? Good morning, MB. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, Queen.
Good morning, my boogie.
Morning, boo.
Good morning. I don't know if you remember me from a couple of weekends ago, but I fed you those Jack and Hennessy wings.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So, all right. So, the topic is this guy, did I receive something fake, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
So, let me make y'all laugh with this. I'm sorry, Daddy. I love you, but... Okay, so when I was about 5 or 6, my daddy brought me a Tommy Hilfiger dress. And he wasn't really around like that. So for him to bring something over, I was excited to get a gift from him. So I get the gift, I open it, it's a Tommy Hilfiger dress. But the dress is fake. When I look in the tag, it doesn't say Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh, damn. Man, he got you some bootleg
and
Tommy
scored,
Hilfiger.
You remember this since 5. Damn.
He definitely... He got me a
bootleg
Tommy
dress. Did you wear it?
What was it?
Did you wear it?
I did not wear it.
At 5, you like, get this fake ish out of here.
Out of here.
Well, Daddy tried.
No.
All right. Thank you, Mama.
No.
Have a good one.
Thank you, y'all too.
Hello, who's this?
This is Sierra.
Hey, Sierra. You got a fake gift?
Yes, I got a fake Louis bag.
Ooh, how'd you know it was fake?
So, I knew it was fake. So, he gave it to me. He got a settlement. We were not going to go crazy with the money. I was going to get a Louis bag, and he saw a watch. It's down in the Diamond District. Both of them. And he was on a splurge one. So, he did something crazy. I took my bag and went to the Cheesecake Factory. I was just going to have me some drinks alone. And this older woman walked in with things bag, and you can clearly see that her leather was made in Italy and mine was in China.
Goodness gracious.
Because the fake bag, they like, the leather is soft and they like drew. And her bag was like standing at attention. It was just so embarrassing. It was so, I was so mad. She had the money, you know?
Right, so, he was just being cheap and shady.
Damn it, man.
Yeah, and then he gave me the bag with $1,500 inside of it. He could have used that.
Yeah, that's the
real bag.
That's the money he saved by not buying that real bag.
Or somebody got him. A lot of times people don't know. People say they got a hookup and they don't know. And dudes ain't going to know the difference between real
they
and
like,
fake.
They like, come to Kanashi, we got a hookup.
Well, his watch was real, so.
I bet it was. All that's right. Embarrassing too. Somebody walk in with the same bag, but theirs is real and yours is clearly not.
Damn it, man.
Next to each other.
Yeah, well, thank
it
you, Mama.
Was it was not the business at all.
Thank you. So, what's the moral of the story, guys?
I don't know if there is a moral of the story, man.
Hey, you ain't got to fake it. If you ain't got the money to get the real thing, just get something else that is in your price range.
I wonder, though, because they say it's the thought that counts, right?
I was thinking about getting you a...
That's a fake thought.
A Louis Vuitton bag, but...
It's not necessarily a fake thought. It's like, I want the best for you. I just can't afford it right now. Then it's the whole fake it till you make it thing. So here, hold this fake bag till I can get you a real one. Or hold this fake ring till I can get you a real
one. You just can't be out wearing a fake bag, though, because everybody could look... A lot of people could look at it and tell it's fake. Do you really want that? Mm. I just feel like I've always been of the mindset, if I can't afford to get that, I'll just stay in my price range until I can.
All right. Well,
I don't know, bro.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, an icon, a legend. Babyface, welcome.
Yo, what's up, man?
How's it feeling?
Good, man. I'm good.
He walked in with a guitar, so that feels like we're going to get something special.
They told me to bring one. I don't know.
So they're not, I mean.
They told you to do it?
Yeah, they told me. It's not like I said, I want to bring a guitar.
I thought you said.
No. See, I'm just going to be traveling around, but since you asked, I'll bring it.
But you got Girls Night Out now. I'm excited for this. So yeah. You started off with Angie Martinez, Girls Night Out, makes sense, Ladies Night. Mm-hmm. And Lala, and they're getting ready to go out, and that's how the album starts. What made you decide to do that?
Well, it was fun because it's Girls Night Out, and we just wanted something to you know, start off the project and make it a party to begin with. It's all about the girls anyway, so.
I want to back it up, if you don't mind, for people that don't know who Babyface is. Of course, I grew up on Babyface. My mother did. My father did. My parents did. What got Babyface into music? Let's start from the beginning for people that don't know who Babyface is.
First song I wrote is because I fell in love with this girl in sixth grade. So I wanted her to know that, you know, I was in love with her. I never played her the song, but never, that didn't matter. It's just that I wrote the song for her. So that made me want to pick up a guitar. My brother had a guitar in the house. And so I picked up the guitar specifically to learn how to write this song. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this song called Here I Go Falling in Love. And that started it.
And how did it continue on? Because, I mean, we all, I wrote a rap, but I didn't say I wanted to be a rapper.
You did put out some rap albums.
No, I wasn't actually rapping. I was DJing. But what made you want to take it serious and be a musician at the time with so much going on?
It was kind of in my blood. I started there, and then my brother Melvin, who was in After Seven, he's not with us anymore, but he was a great singer, and he had a band, and I just kind of used to watch him and his band play. And then he asked me to sing Who's Loving You one time in a homecoming that he had at high school, and I did that and kind of got in my blood. And the first act I saw was Jackson 5. Saw them coming back to Indiana tour, or going back to Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and I saw them on stage, and it was over at that point.
And most musicians, a lot of musicians, I should say, they're artist mode all the time, right? They want to be an artist. They want to be in front of the camera, on stage, in front of the lights. But you also took a taking into writing as well. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to write for some of these people and produce for some of these people? Because you could have kept it all for yourself and your brothers and your band.
I never felt like the star anyway. I only wanted to do it for the love of music and to write it in the first place. So I wasn't trying to be the main one. Even when I saw the Jackson 5, I didn't want to necessarily be up on that stage. I just wanted to have a piece of it, be a part of it somehow.
What happens when you write a song, but more than one person wants it? Because some of the songs I'm sure that you've written, like maybe you give it to this person, they didn't respond fast enough, and then someone else got it, and they're like, no, I want that song.
Well, there was one song in the beginning that I ended up giving to another artist, and it was, and actually L.A. got blamed for it, but I was the one that actually did it.
Can We Talk?
Nope.
Oh.
It was Girlfriend.
Pebbles?
Yep. So initially we had a deal. We were supposed to do a thing with Vanessa Williams. And then we met with this lady, Cheryl Dickerson, at a Universal at the time, MCA. She said, you guys should meet the boys and you should meet Pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
And we went over and met Pebbles. And so then she played Mercedes Boy, which was like, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And as she was talking, as she was playing, then I thought the song Girlfriend was already written. And it wasn't written for anybody specifically, but I had already written it. And then to L.A., I said, she's Girlfriend. And he was like, yeah, but we already put it on Vanessa. I said, yeah, but this song belongs to her. And I've always been a believer that the song comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, we snatched the song back. L.A. started dating Pebbles, so they just figured that Pebbles in L.A., mm-hmm. you know, it must have happened that way.
It was your fault.
It was actually my fault. And I take the blame.
Well, it was a good call.
It was a good call. It was the right call. The song was supposed to go where it was supposed to go.
I want to ask, like, with a song like Can We Talk, right? Huge record to this day. So when you're working with a new artist and you have that record, and I'm sure when you did that record, you're like, oh, this is it. Do you have any reservation like, maybe we shouldn't give it into this young whippersnapper, which Tevin Campbell was at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe we should give it to somebody that's already seasoned. Do you ever have those reservations?
Not really. It all depends on the voice. And that song was just kind of right for Tevin at the time. And I know there's this whole thing on Usher and
yeah.
supposed to be Usher's song. And the reality is I wrote it specifically for Tevin. That was Quincy Jones. Asked me to, you know, work on this project, and I had already did one song called I'm Ready, and he called me and said, can I get another one? I was like, I'm gonna give Quincy Jones another song, because it was Quincy. So I ultimately wrote that with Daryl Simmons, and we wrote Can We Talk, and it was for Tevin from the get-go.
Yeah, rumor has it was supposed to be for Usher, and Usher never got it, or for whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and that went for a very long time.
But that's
well,
not
there
true.
You
no
are,
truth.
Here
that
to
is
say
not
now.
The truth. Vital, that's not the truth. It was ultimately, from the beginning, written for Tevin and went on Tevin. I think after the fact it was done, I think L.A. definitely wanted to have it on Usher, but it was too late. It was already done.
Do you remember how much you were charging back then for records, to write records?
Nope. I know for the Vanessa thing, for three songs, I think we're gonna get 12 grand for
12 grand.
12 grand for three songs. We was happy.
And your guys were excited for that.
We was excited.
Yeah.
We was excited about that. And then Tev's manager at the time, he offered us 15 for one, so.
Went that route.
It went that route.
Do you remember your first rapper or hip-hop artist that called and said, do a record? And what were your thoughts when they called?
I don't clearly remember. I just know I did this one record for this artist I wasn't very familiar with, and they said he was going to be really big. And I think he had an album out already, but he said it was going to be really big, and I did this hook for him. Sunshine.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
So you didn't know who Jay-Z was?
I wasn't really familiar with him, though.
But did you go in the studio with him to record that record?
Yeah, I went in. And honestly, I think he was there. I'm not sure he was there because I didn't really know him. I was like, yeah, I do this. It was a favor. So
who called you if you didn't have no idea?
I feel like Andre Harrell called again.
And you were babyface at that time. So you was like, who is this called? What, rapper?
No, I never had this. I was never babyface, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying. I never looked at myself as like babyface. So it never, if I knew somebody and they called and want me to do something, then I'd do it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the iconic Waiting to Exhale soundtrack. So how did you work on that? How did all of that happen? What was the process?
I got a call from Forest Whitaker. And I think
everybody just calls you babyface. You know that? They like Andre Harrell. All you got to do is call him. He'll do it.
Nah, but I was surprised I got a call from Forest Whitaker. And I was excited that he wanted to meet with me. And mm-hmm. everybody was chomping at the bit to do Waiting to Exhale, you know. Then Forest Whitaker called me. And I didn't know he was directing the movie at the time. And he told me, I'm getting ready to do this project and Waiting to Exhale. And he said, I'd love you to do music. And I'd also love you to score it as well. And I hadn't done that, scored it, and are written all the music for a film, which was I was glad to definitely write the music, but the scoring I was a little afraid of. And he said, no, you can do it, and I'll walk you through it, and we'll get this done. And so it was really Forrest that kind of called it for me to do it. And then as we were doing it, I thought it made a lot of sense for it to just be all girls. And initially Whitney, since it was a Whitney film, you thought, okay, great, we get Whitney to sing. But Whitney initially wasn't going to sing. Mm.
But then she knew it was you, and I know she trusts you.
Yeah, she trusts me, but even then, because I had met with her, and I asked her, are you going to sing? She said, I don't know, babe. I don't know if I'm going to do this yet. So I wasn't writing anything for her. So everything initially was all songs written for all the other artists. Mm-hmm. And then finally she said she would sing, and that's how Exhale ultimately was written. And I started writing, but I didn't finish it. And that's how it ended up with Shoop Shoop instead of a full chorus in it, because I hadn't really thought it all the way through.
You didn't think it all the way through.
Yeah, we gotta get this done. She's in the studio now. Let's just say soup, soup.
Which is very catchy. All right, we got more with Babyface. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Babyface. Versus opens you up to a whole younger demographic.
Yeah.
So how has that been? Because, I mean, I remember the first day, you know, you and Teddy, y'all were trying to figure out your Wi-Fi problem and getting on. And
Your Wi-Fi was good.
Yeah, your Teddy's was a little crazy. So how has that been opening up to a whole new demographic of people that probably didn't know who you were at the time, but now are so into you?
Yeah, I think that was no question the turning point. I think that doing first, I was scared as hell, or nervous as hell anyway, doing that as we were doing that, because I didn't.
You got so many hits.
You know, it's the weirdest thing because, you know, you're sitting here watching the phone and ain't nobody else in there. And so why should you be nervous? Because you don't know any, you know, you don't know if anybody's on the other side or not. But the whole idea of going up against Teddy, because Teddy had a catalog.
Yeah,
Teddy got a catalog.
Yes, he did.
He just didn't plan it out right.
Right.
He could have got me. He just didn't plan it right.
He was just chilling.
Mm-hmm. I was prepared. We were prepared to come at him. Every song he played, okay, you got that. I got this, got this, got this. And so I knew one song he would play, I knew I couldn't beat it. That's why I ended up pulling the guitar out and did the When Can I See You, because I knew I couldn't beat when he went to the remix with SWV. I was like, I ain't going to be able to beat that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun in that sense, but I didn't want to do it in the first place.
Why not?
Because I didn't want to compete like that. And it was Andre Harrell who talked me, once again,
Andre Harrell
called me again and talked me into it. And I'm glad that I did it. Because when I did it, it changed everything. Because I went from, like, you know, Instagram followers from overnight from 300,000 to over 1 million. And
the streaming numbers.
And everything, it kind of changed to where I started seeing younger people that were into me, which brought up the idea. Rika, who's my partner in this on Girls Night Out, she kind of came to me and said, what you need to do is do another project, not exactly Exhale, but a project with the younger R&B girls again. And this time you should write it with them. And so that's what I ended up doing.
And how was that, getting all those different attitudes, all those different people, all those different moments?
It was great because, like, every girl had their own thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody wrote on the song. We actually collaborated together. So we just walk in the studio and then I say, so what's going on in your life? Are you happy? You sad? You in love? You're not in love? And everybody kind of would talk about whatever's going on.
Man, I thought about that right while I listened to the album. And, like, what would you say when it comes to what's going on in women's lives? Was it kind of a theme in this album, because I feel like LMA in love.
Yes.
You know, Butterflies,
right.
Still
right.
Coming.
Yeah.
But then I listen to some of the other songs.
Exactly.
And I'm like, Coco Jones, you know, she's jaded.
Yep.
She doesn't believe in love.
Yep.
And then you hear Kalani.
Yep.
And she's like, you mad at me for breathing.
Yep.
And then you hear Baby Tate, don't even think about it.
Yep.
And you hear stuff like that. And she's got problems with commitment. Do you feel like sometimes when you're getting creative and writing in the studio, it's easier to tap into more of those type of emotions?
That's true, but this is also a sign of where we are today. Because like, it was a time when we would sing about love and women would sing about love and being in love. And now everybody's more independent. And these girls, they got their own, they're like, I ain't taking this. And I'm not going to, and I'm going to say how I feel, what I feel and how I feel. And that was the cool part about the process, because every girl that came in was very independent and very strong and a lot different than before. Plus, I was writing the songs before, so it was completely what I imagined they might say. So they were saying exactly how they felt.
You're like, this is how women really feel.
They're like, you know, you might have thought it was love, but no, it ain't.
What did you learn?
How to flow differently, how the lyrics flow, how the melodies flow. Everything's not on top of the beat. It's behind the beat. It's everywhere. It's all about feel at this particular point. And just from their perspective of life is a lot different than it was, say, in the 90s girls, our 90s people, period. Relationships, period. Mm-hmm. Everything's a lot more toxic, but that's like,
it's
that's
a lot more
today.
Access. Like Money Long and her song, The Recipe.
Yes.
You know, she's going through your phone. And you didn't have to worry about that back in the day. Like,
well, yeah, there's a lot of things you have to worry about back in the day. But Money came in there and killed it too.
She did. Oof.
And the funny thing is that we really just did it every song in one day.
Who surprised you the most in the studio?
There kept on being surprises. Mm-hmm. Like I knew Money Long was great, but I didn't know that she was that great. Some surprises were Teyana Major 9. I heard her voice before. Mm-hmm. And then when she came in, I realized how rich her voice really is. It's mm-hmm. like, this girl's really good. And then Coco Jones surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, where'd this come from? Mm-hmm. Baby Tate, who was more of a rapper, who came in singing. So.
I know, I was surprised with that one. That was dope. I was like, Baby Tate, and her song is dope.
Now, you know, Diddy recently came out and said R&B was dead, and it was trending, and people were mad. R&B artists were mad.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it? Especially since you just did a whole Girls Night Out album, R&B album.
Yeah, R&B is never dead. It's in everything that we do, and it's in every new artist. I mean, Kehlani has been killing it mm-hmm. for a very long time. You have Giveon, you have pieces of R&B in Lucky Day. You have R&B in Steve Lacy.
In Vegas is killing it.
Yeah, R&B is everywhere. And also you have R&B in pop artists too. It's like, don't think that Justin Bieber, that's not R&B. It's in so many things. So I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
You just named a lot of R&B guys. So does that mean there's going to be like a guys night out?
I don't know, maybe.
You should do a guys night out. Absolutely positive.
The Hangover.
And I was going to ask, is there any song that you wish you redid?
That's why I don't listen to the radio. When songs come on, I usually won't listen to it, because I will reproduce it in my head and be like, damn, I should have did this. That could have went for this note. Could have made it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So I'll turn the station if I hear something, or if somebody's listening to stuff, then I just don't try not to pay attention.
When you and L.A. Reid had The Face, and you guys had so much success, why did you guys say, okay, we're done with the label?
In terms of the label part, it was just that kind of time for L.A. He wanted to move on, and he got an offer to run Arista. And we ultimately were building The Face to hopefully one day sell it. It's because L.A. was able to go run Arista, I think that's why we were able to actually sell it at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we would have been able to do it any sooner than that.
Out of all the artists that you signed on The Face, who was some of your favorites because you just really found that raw talent and really made them to who they are today?
It's a little hard to answer because it's so many artists that we touched. You didn't imagine that their careers would go where it would go. From even starting with TLC.
What gave you the vision for TLC? We're going to go through some of them. Like TLC, when they came to you, the way that they looked, the different clothes, the singing, the rapping all together. What made you say, that is the group?
Well, TLC was brought in through Pebbles, mm-hmm. and she had a vision for them, and then when she brought them, it was kind of clear to see. And then there was obviously Toni Braxton. Mm-hmm. She was in, had the group herself mm-hmm. with the Braxtons.
Yeah,
we pulled her out of the Braxtons because she had this voice. And
how difficult was that, making her leave her sisters?
It was kind of difficult. It was a family affair, mm-hmm. and they didn't really want that to happen. But I felt like she was a star by herself initially. Mm-hmm.
They always call you guys the perfect pairing musically.
I think that the thing that hit me about Toni was all this pain that she had in her voice. Mm-hmm. And I love to write from pain. Mm-hmm. So all the things kind of fell together, right? Because you know, Tony ended up getting songs that weren't actually even meant for her, that she, you know, they were written for Anita Baker at first. From the Boomerang soundtrack, we wrote Love Should Have Brought You Home.
Love Should Have Brought Your Ass Home.
We wrote that for Anita Baker, and she turned it down and said, y'all should let that little girl do it. That little girl that did the demo.
Why did she turn it down?
She didn't like it, I guess. It didn't seem like it was something that she wanted to sing. And then I think we sent her another one, like, You Mean the World to Me. And she turned that one down, too. So Tony got that one, too.
So she's like, thank you.
No, baby, I don't want to do that one either. Let that little girl sing it.
All right, we got more with Babyface. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Babyface. Yee?
What was your first publishing deal like?
Didn't have one to begin with. Our publishing was just taken because we signed up to the record company. So it was like, they take it automatically. You didn't get any advance or anything. So we've been through it all.
How big are you on always writing for yourself? Do other artists write for you when you put out your own projects?
Sometimes people write for me. I'll write together, but when someone hands me a song, I don't usually do that.
Have you ever done a song that someone just handed you?
So Teddy calls you up and says, I got this song for you. Or you know, Quincy or Andre Harrell say, hey, you need to take this song from somebody.
Yeah, it's so hard for me to just do that. wow. That's hard. No, I usually have to collaborate. Because people, they'll think they know exactly what it is that I'm supposed to do, and I don't feel the same. So it's weird for me to be behind the mic, and if someone's trying to produce me, that's a rough one. I did that with a couple people, and I got through it.
Mm-hmm. You said, I got through it.
It was difficult.
Have you ever felt like you wanted to experiment and like, let me try this different, you know, sound? And
yeah, you know, through the years, I've done different things. It was different when I worked with Pharrell. This was when we did There She Goes. That was a different experience for me to work with Pharrell. I enjoyed it because I was able to see how Pharrell worked and I was surprised because he was doing everything all on this one little keyboard. I said, you created all this with that? It was amazing just to kind of see everybody's work ethic and how they put things together. And I knew at that particular point, that was way back in the day, and I knew at that point that Pharrell was going to just be, he was just going to blow up. He's going to be amazing.
All right. Well, you do have the guitar here. So.
Yeah, you do have a guitar here. It's Monday morning. People are driving to work. They're stuck in the office. I think it's only right we should give them a little something.
A little something. We don't want you to have this here, you know. I was excited. I thought
I don't know why, you know.
Give us something special.
I was going to play it, but I don't think you want me to play it. All I know is old McDonald had a farm. No. Yeah. Oh,
you know
that?
That's
what I got.
What am I doing? This is not, you know, warning voice. It's not the easy one.
When can my heart beat again? When does the pain never end? When do the tears start running over? When does you get over and begin? You said I'm safe even if it's not making sense. So when can I see you again? When can I see you again? And when can my heart beat again? When can I see you again? Yeah. And when can I breathe once again? Yeah, yeah. And when can I see you again?
Ooh. Thank you. That's it.
Yay! That was amazing. That usually costs millions of dollars to get something like that.
That's what that is.
To all of our listeners, that was definitely amazing.
I know this might be a stretch.
No.
All right.
Just tell them no already.
But me and Yee will help you with this one.
No.
Can we just do Can We Talk? Just one good time. We'll help him sing it.
Let's see if I can remember it. I usually play on the keyboard. Hold on. It's really high. One, two.
Can we talk?
A little higher.
Can we talk?
One, two.
You want me to do that first?
Yeah, yeah, you should be safe.
There we go.
One, two.
Can we talk for a minute?
Girl, I'm on the next album.
I want to know your name. Can we talk?
This Emmy's dream come true.
Okay, we're going to have to work a little bit on that.
Baby, this was Emmy's dream come true, by the way. I just want to say.
We can fix that. We can fix that.
And look, congratulations on having a number one single from off the album, LMA, Keep On Falling, video starring Tiffany Haddish. It looks like a Bridgerton theme.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Right now.
That's the situation.
That was fun.
What do you want to play from the album? Hold on, hold on. Let's think about this. Okay.
Let's see. We could... Well, what would you heard it? What would you like to play?
Oh man, let's see what song. You know what? We talked about the song with Baby Tate.
Yeah.
So let's do that one.
Okay. Don't even think about it.
Yeah. Don't even think.
Let's
about
do it.
All right, it's Babyface, the icon, the legend. It's the Breakfast Club. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Emmy trying so hard to be on that Boys Night Out album just now. He wanted to be on the intro. Look, guys, where we going?
Where we going?
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
Look at these donkeys, donkeys, donkeys. Bunch of jackass.
That's time for the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
All right, I'm going to make this quick. It's just reinforcing a point. Donkey of the Day goes to every single individual who got a fraudulent PPP loan. Because if you haven't heard, President Biden signed a bill aimed at helping crack down on pandemic relief fund. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. All right. There is not one single solitary human I know with good sense who participated in PPP fraud. Why? Because we all knew it was too good to be true. We all knew there was only one place fake LLC Twitter was going to end up, and that's in PPP prison. Okay? PPP period. And that's why a couple of days ago, President Joe Biden signed a pair of bills to assist prosecutors crack down on pandemic relief funds. Let's listen to what he had to say.
And today I'm signing two bipartisan bills. It will give the federal and local prosecutors more time to hold criminals accountable for defrauding the American people during a once-in-a-century pandemic. The American people deserve to know that their tax dollars are being spent as intended. My message to those cheats out there is this. You can't hide. We're going to find you. We're going to make you pay back what you stole and hold you accountable under the law. I'm going to sign them in the law as proof of another piece of my economic plan. The belief that in the United States of America, there is nothing beyond our capacity. Nothing when we work together as the United States of America. That's what these bills represent.
Y'all know President Biden loved locking black people up, and y'all just helped him. See, I'm not wishing jail on nobody. I just understand that there's consequences to all our actions. And for some reason in this era, people have forgotten that. All right, folks want to do whatever it is they want to do and then get mad when they don't get away with it. It's unreal to me. The mindset is crazy. Okay, and these bills that Biden signed will extend the statute of limitations for prosecuting cases of fraud against the government for 10 years. So for the next decade, if you did a fraudulent PPP scam, you better act like you a rapper from Atlanta. Who's been warned by the DA that more RICOs are on the way over the next 60 days. By the way, she said that 3 weeks ago, so y'all got about 3 or 4 more weeks left. But I just want to know, what made y'all think y'all could get away with this fraudulent PPP loan scam in the first place? Some of y'all never owned a business, never ran a business, nothing. But all of a sudden, you're creating these fake LLCs, lying about the number of employees you have, about the profits you made. We told y'all this was going to lead to you going to PPP prison, and you did it anyway. Okay, I don't feel sorry for y'all. Okay, I feel sorry for all the small businesses, all the small black businesses who couldn't get any PPP money, who wanted the relief, who needed the relief, and for whatever reason couldn't get it. But all of y'all out there with fake LLCs like Dealey Nuts LLC and Beef King LLC and Ritter Wheat Club LLC, would you like to know who those people were? Those were actual businesses who claimed to be farms. But guess where these farms, and I got farms in air quotes, guess where these farms were located? In beach towns in New Jersey. Okay? Hundreds of PPP loans went to fake farms in places where there is no damn farms. All right? There was an online lending platform called Cabbage that sent 378 pandemic loans worth $7 million to fake companies, mostly farms. Meanwhile, real farms couldn't get this kind of relief. This is what makes me feel like all of this was a setup.
Okay, how were so many legitimate businesses ignored? Couldn't get the relief they needed, but all these fake LLCs weren't? For all you YouTube conspiracy theorists out there, this is a conspiracy you can run with because they killed two birds with one stone. In this case, they killed two niggas with one loan. Okay, because if you a small black and brown business who couldn't get a PPP loan, you probably ended up ultimately losing your business. So they killed black and brown businesses. And if you a black or brown person who got a fake LLC, now you going to prison. And I don't even have to tell you how incarceration kills families. So therefore, this was the ultimate trap. Okay, you killed two niggas with one loan. It was clearly a trap and y'all fell for it. I don't feel remorse for any of you. Okay, PPP was intended to help businesses make payroll during the pandemic, with those loans being forgiven if companies met specific criteria. Okay, it was for small businesses to stay afloat, not for you niggas to ball out on boats. Okay, I don't feel sorry for any of y'all. And I am sick of folks acting like there is not consequences to their actions. All right, we see people doing things that are going to lead them to jail. We tell them they're going to jail. We can clearly see what the consequences of what they are doing is going to be. We warn them. They do it. They get busted. And now we feel sorry for them? No, not Leonard. Not Uncle Sharla. Okay? Y'all deserve to be afraid. All right? Very afraid over the next decade. You made a choice. And I hope those crab legs and scrimps and all that Casamigos was worth it. Please give everyone who got a fraudulent PPP loan the biggest hee-haw. Just my thoughts, just the way I'm feeling at the time.
It was a pandemic, you know what I'm saying? People was getting them banned, so guess it's over now.
It's been over.
Oh, it was over 2 years ago.
About to be a jail-demic.
It's going to be a jail-demic. You hear me? We told y'all this was going to happen. We live. You go back and you listen to The Breakfast Club during COVID, we told you PPP was going to lead to PP prison. Okay, we saw where this was going. Y'all didn't listen. Hey, now you got a decade to watch your back.
All right.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Nicole.
Hey, Nicole. What's your question for Yeezy?
So the situation is, I've been in a relationship for maybe like 17 years. In terms of my relationship, he had like different sexual interests. And I thought I'm like a dominatrix. I really like control in the bedroom. And he seemed like he was into it. I like to turn them out, but I don't really like when they're into it. So I've been noticing more and more where they are, he is, like, tooking his booty out or cause it's like hanging. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of not interested in it no more. So I want to know, how do I bring up the conversation with him without hurting his feelings or demasculating him?
The problem is that you're a dominatrix, right? But he's enjoying it too much?
I want to say yes, that is the problem.
Okay, you want him to be like...
anymore. It's like, are you really now like interested in that? Or, you know?
Okay, so in the beginning, he wasn't enjoying it.
No, he was, I liked to turn him out. So he was like, heck no, stay away from that area. What do you think this is? Kind of like.
Okay, so you mean with anal, like putting something in his.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, first of all, you said the goal is to turn someone out. It worked.
Yeah, it did.
So now that you turned him out, you're bored.
But the thing is, we are like partners. And I don't know if this is going to mess up our actual relationship.
Well, as a dominatrix, maybe you need to find something else to do to him next to turn him out on.
Elaborate.
I mean, okay, look, what other things do you do as a dominatrix in this relationship? Because I guess the dynamic now is messed up, right? As a dominatrix, he's supposed to be like, no, I don't want that, I don't like that. He's resistant, but now he's like, yes, bring it, do it to me, peg me.
Yes, and like I said, for that,
do it to me.
I noticed that he keeps his booty out before I'm ready to actually take it, and I'm like,
Right now this is down. Now wow. This feels like something we both enjoy, and it wasn't supposed to be like that.
It's so wrong.
So are there other things that you do to him in that situation, that relationship? To you know, maybe there's something else you could do where you're stepping on him with the high heels, maybe a little light whooping, anything like that.
Yeah, we do a little role play of, you know, I want to say sleep and or patient. We do like little role plays, but like I said, it's just more of now. Like if we regular doing regular sex, he's ready to chew his tushy out.
Oh, okay. Wrong, man. What if you use a bigger dildo?
What are we talking about?
She did. This is so wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Men do not let women play in your butt unless they're willing to make a real commitment to you. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, he gave you the butt and now all of a sudden now, it's too far.
Guys, this is bad. Z, okay?
Yes. they're not married, right?
Actually, we are married.
What?
He gave you his butt and now you're saying it's too much?
You mad because you turned me out because I like it?
You know, but the problem is that you did turn him out and got him to like something that he was resistant to at first, and now you don't like it anymore. So I mean, what can you do? It worked.
Oh. Take that man, mama.
Give some suggestions. If not, like, I'm really feel like I'm in a hard place because I don't want to say to him, I don't want to do it anymore. And like I said, I'm the one that started
right.
this
yeah.
whole. But.
Oh, maybe you could do the opposite now, right? And torture him by not doing it.
Oh, man. What you don't do to another man's butt, somebody else will.
Charlamagne was just telling
me. I mean, is it that you don't want to peg him anymore at all?
Correct.
What if he acted this like he doesn't so what if he acted like he doesn't like it now, moving forward, and you let him.
Should I ask him to, like, resist a little bit more?
Yeah, tell him, look, the dynamics of what this was is not what it is now, and this is what I need you to do for me to feel turned on. Mm-hmm. He might actually enjoy that, too.
That's not fair, Mama. If he likes something, and now all of a sudden y'all supposed to be a couple, y'all supposed to enjoy each other.
Well, she's not enjoying it.
But he is.
He might enjoy also doing the role playing of acting like this is his first time doing it.
He didn't want to do it in the first place.
You know why?
He broke down for her to do it, and now when he actually likes it.
If he wants it, he might have to play along.
You know why a lot of men don't like butt play? Because they feel like it makes them feel like less of a man, right? It makes them feel like a sucker, right? So now,
yeah.
I've been vulnerable with you. You turned me out, and now you're telling me to stop acting like a bitch. Well, guess who turned me into one?
Tell us how you feel.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, have you communicated any of this to him?
Slight hint, but not very direct, saying, you know, this is how I feel at this current moment. How can we make a change?
Well, be direct. You're a dominatrix. Be direct, okay? And tell him, look, this ain't fun for me no more. Before it was a resistance situation, you ain't want it, now you tooting it up.
Toot that dang up, daddy, make it roll.
What if I'm now seeing it, like, in our regular household situation? Like, it seems like I have to take control of everything. And it's like, is that from the way of our bedroom action is? And now, it's like, I don't want to call him bitching out, because I don't want to downplay who he is, because he's far from a female dog, but like, he's very now soft, or he's not taking control as a man in the household.
This is so wrong.
So, okay, he might think this is what you want. And if you haven't communicated that you don't like it, he might think this is the dynamic that you wanted.
But Charlamagne did say something real true. What you don't do, somebody else will do.
Stop it, guys.
It's the truth. You turned him on to it, so he likes
it,
he enjoys it.
You need to let him know that this is not working for you, and this is not what your intention was, so he can take charge in certain situations again.
This is why men don't open up our hearts or our butts to people. Because of situations like this. All right.
But the main thing is that you're not telling him what it is that you need. You gotta let him know.
But she wanted it at first and he didn't want to do it at first, and then he finally opened up and did it.
Envy.
And got turned out.
Envy,
and now
you and your
ass
is chaps, just be quiet.
Why are you doing that?
That's foul.
All right, so listen, talk to him, okay?
I'm soft.
You gotta
now.
Work through this.
You begged to play in my butt. I let you play in my butt. Now you looking at me like I'm soft.
Let's just keep that.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
So okay.
This is toxic femininity.
What's his number? We need to call him.
No, stop it.
This is toxic femininity.
God, I don't think I want to put him on a spot.
Yeah, don't do it.
All right. All
right.
This is toxic femininity.
Actually, we have no problem answering any questions.
That's
okay?
Foul.
This is foul.
He opened up for her. He finally, he enjoys it now, and now she's just going to take it back.
This sounded too personal,
y'all say
guys.
Y'all can't get men to communicate.
Right.
We open up. Then y'all tell us y'all don't like what we say. You say we don't share our emotions. We open up our hearts. Y'all break our hearts. Y'all say we don't want like butt play. We open our butts. Now, look.
You take it back.
You guys have been too into ASCII these past couple
this
of days.
This is crazy.
This is foul.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is foul.
These toxic women
y'all
that are calling
this
radio
this
station.
Way too much
we need
for
to
me.
Protest. ASCII. 800.
I'm going to get a butt hat. I'm going to get a butt cheek hat.
800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, so I got this question, right? I was trying to figure out, like, how do I get my wife to be more submissive towards me? You know what I mean?
No. What do you mean by more submissive? Give me an example.
Like, this is like high school, right? So we basically grew up together. Like, I can't tell her that So it's like, it be things where I know I be right at, but it's always got to be like this argument about me making a decision, you know what I'm saying, about something. Like, you know what I mean? And she's already always in her head. You know how women are. I don't mean it like that, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so you're telling me how all women are, but you're complaining that she says all men are like that.
Oh my, you get what I'm trying to say though, right?
All right, give me a specific example, like what you're right about that she argues.
Let's say it's something dealing with the kids. I don't want to get like too specific. Maybe okay. Something dealing with the kids. I may say, this is how I want it to go. And she feel like it should go this way because she feel like, I guess she's always right.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's not even a matter of what's best. You guys are arguing over who's right.
But that's the thing. I feel like it shouldn't be that. I feel like I'm right all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because sometimes we end up getting into arguments not over what it is that we're trying to do, but over who's right. And it becomes more about that than what the actual issue is. And it feels like when those arguments continue to happen, it's for another reason.
Right.
Is there something else going on in your relationship? Has it always been like this, or is this something that has been happening more recently?
I think that's just like all dynamic of our relationship that was built over the years. Like, been together all these years, and I feel like that kind of was built throughout all this time. You know what I'm saying? And now it's like, God damn, I don't want to argue with you every time we gotta make a decision on something.
Right, because that's exhausting, right? And that does affect the whole relationship. Well, my thing is this. When I find myself in a space, and listen, all couples get into situations where they're not always agreeing on things. They're not, you know, always on good terms. Sometimes they argue, but being able to do that in a more effective way where you can actually not have an argument but a discussion is important, and it's about how you guys speak to each other when you're discussing things. And if you can come into more of an agreement on, okay, whenever we have something that we don't agree on, let's have a discussion instead of an argument. And how can you do that without, you know, some of the main things are not using the words always. You know how you said, you know how all y'all women are, or you always feel like men are like this. Using words like that make people get defensive.
Right, okay.
So a better way to express yourself is, hey, I was thinking it would be best for the kids if we did this like this. If she doesn't agree, be like, okay, well, let's discuss and, you know, figure out the best solution. Because sometimes it is really how y'all speak to each other, because you're just arguing to be right. And you get so used to that, because it is a dysfunctional thing in a relationship where you guys argue over every little thing. So you have to learn how to communicate with each other in a more respectful manner, where she gets to say her piece, you get to say your piece, and then you guys are coming to an agreement on it in that manner. And then sometimes you have to give in, and sometimes she should give in. Sometimes you have to lead with example to show, this is how I want to be spoken to, and I want to treat you the way you need to be treated. And that might even be in the middle of you guys discussing something, a hug, telling her, yo, I love you, I hate that we are arguing like this. Because sometimes it's hard to be the bigger person in a situation like that when you're fighting to be right for no reason.
Right.
All right. Well, I wish y'all luck with that. But, you know, I just think it's a different type of issue. It feels like it's not even about what y'all are going back and forth over. It's more about how you guys relate and communicate with each other.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, too. Like I was saying, I guess it's kind of like over the years, like it kind of just got that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, next time it happened, give her a kiss. Give her a hug. And if it's not a big deal, or, you know, the way that she wants to do things is not bad, sometimes you give in and then be like, okay, last time I gave in, so, you know, let's do it my way this time.
I see about to go. All right. I think I'm going to take your advice. Hey, if you wrong, I'm going to call you back.
All right, please call me back.
All right.
All right. Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call her. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's that time again.
Ask Charlamagne and DJ Envy anything.
Pick it up. Roll.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time to ask CNE. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can hit us. Hello, who's this?
It's Terrence down here in Newport News. How y'all doing?
What's
757. What up, Terrence?
Wait a minute. I got a question for y'all. Y'all married just like I am. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
After this Chris Rock and Will Smith thing, I want to know, is it possible for a wife or a girlfriend to feel comfortable and safe that you go protect her if she witnessed you not protect yourself?
Well, what does protecting yourself look like, King? Tell me what that looks like to you. And I'll tell you what it looks like to me.
Oh, I'm in the old generation where your father tell you the worst thing a man can do to disrespect you is smack. I'd rather you punch me than smack me. And now you can't even argue with your wife because you get loud with her. The first thing she's going to say is, don't break bad with me. You ain't break bad when you smack the taste out your mouth. You got to live with that now. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's not what protecting a woman to me is. Or protecting a woman to me is, you know, making sure that, you know, you're doing the work on yourself to show up to be the man that you need to be. Like, are you in therapy? Do you know how to properly deal with your emotions? You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. But just think, if you go somewhere and somebody get loud, you think she's going to feel comfortable if you go protect her?
Yeah,
I think something happened to you like that.
I think it's a different situation. Will Smith and Chris Rock were actually friends. I mean, they worked with movies together. They knew of each other. And that was on one of the biggest stages. So I don't think you could compare that to if we just in the street and somebody comes up to me and smacks me in front of my daughter or my wife. So
hey,
I think it's totally two different situations.
Hey, also it is too, King. Now, what if you're a person who can't control their emotions and you're dealing with a lot of hurt and you're dealing with a lot of pain? So whenever somebody pops off, even if it's something light, you react in that way and you just out smacking people or punching people, and then that person decides to pull a gun out and then kills you, blows your mother effing brains out. That's not protecting.
Right.
Will Smith ain't a lot. He's been successful all his life. He smiled at everything. So you got to expect him to go off sooner or later because he could never be himself. He always got to be that image.
That is true.
Sooner or later, you know, it gonna come out sooner or later. And I think that's all that happened. And I love both of the brothers. And I appreciate y'all.
I love both of them too, man. And I want both of them to continue on their journey of healing.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what up? It's Ali.
All right, what's your question for CNE?
I got a question. My first question is for Charlamagne. Yo, Charlamagne, how come every time you're giving out the Donkey of the Day, you got the days wrong? Today is Thursday the 31st, not Friday the 31st.
What did I say?
Friday the 31st.
I might have some type of burger, man. I don't know.
Burger?
I be seeing, what's the burger?
Ass burger?
Yeah. I be seeing. I didn't know. I thought the day was Thursday, March 31st.
I
said Friday.
Thursday, March 31st.
I don't know why I do that. I'm gonna be honest. I see people say that all the time on the YouTube comments. Yeah. I'm like, I don't even realize I be saying it.
Like, he ain't got an iPhone that tells him the date.
That last week.
He does it all the time.
Your uncle getting old, bro.
What's up, bro?
I'm 43.
What's your other question, brother?
Okay.
Yo, Envy, I got a problem, man. I'm trying to see, man. Like, how can I got an 80% and I got a 20%. I'm trying to see how can I get my 80 John. Trying to see how she could give me 100. I'm tired of running.
You should know nothing about this, Envy.
I don't know what he's talking about.
You should know nothing about this. You shouldn't even understand this math he's talking.
I don't understand none of this math.
What are you talking about? You a happily married man, a faithful black man.
What are you talking about?
He is.
A faithful black man. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, King. I know math. I'm going with the 80 all day, every day.
I'm trying to go with the 80 all day, every day, but the 20 keep calling. How can I stop?
You're an idiot. You wouldn't take 20% of your paycheck, would you? If your boss came to you right now and said, I'm going to give you 80% of your paycheck or 20% of your paycheck, which one you taking?
Come on now. That's an easy question.
So it should be easy in this situation, too. Get off my damn phone.
What's wrong with you?
Calling us talking about math we don't know. We faithful black men.
80 and the 20. I don't know. What are you talking about?
I don't know about that damn math. 80, 20. What is that? I know 100, exactly. 100% faithful to our wives.
Now what this man talking
80,
about?
80-20.
Dumbass. All right. Ask CNE. Our program today is brought to you by Peacock, presenting the new original limited series, The Best Man. The final chapters from the creator of The Best Man and The Best Man Holiday, and executive producer of Insecure. Stream the limited series December 22nd only on Peacock. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You got a positive note for the people?
Now, the positive note is simply this. You are where you're supposed to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of God's plan.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.